Father, we thank you for this and other opportunity to minister to these, your precious sheep. Thank you, Lord, that revelation knowledge will flow freely, uninterrupted and unhindered by any satanic or demonic force. And Father, I pray that you will speak through my vocal cords and think through my mind. None of me and all of you. And I thank you that every ear is anointed to hear. Every heart is anointed to receive. We're never going to be the same again. We will never be the same again. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
Say this out loud. In the name of Jesus,
I will hear
and receive
the Word of God.
I'll receive revelation
from the Word of God.
And I'll never be the same again
because of the Word of God.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans chapter 8. And I'd like to begin at verse 31 and 32. You know, there are just certain messages that you just weep over because God just continues to show you another degree of His love for you. But I began to notice miraculous things happening for people who really fed on God's love. And so I want to talk to you about the victorious power of the love of God. I want to spend the next several weeks just really opening this up because I believe that this is the master key for all of the whys and all of the issues in our lives. And with the right perspective, I pray that the divine teacher will show up in me. Not me, but the divine teacher. When the divine teacher shows up, I get the CD. Because I want to hear what the divine teacher said. Amen. In Romans chapter 8, let's read verse 31 and 32 out loud together. Ready, read. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, I want you to focus in on verse 31, where he says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, I want to make it very, very clear that because of the blood of Jesus, let me make this very clear, God is for us. There was some times in the Old Testament, if you would read the Old Testament, you would see God being against his people under the law. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to make this very clear, God, because of the blood of Jesus and because of what was accomplished on that cross, God is for us. In fact, I want you to make it personal. I want you to say, God is for me. Now, let's put emphasis on each of those words. Say this after me. God is for me. God is for me. God is for me.
God is for me.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? See, you got to understand that God is for you. That cannot ever be a question in the life of a new covenant believer. It can never be a question that things happen in your life and you wonder, oh my God, God must not be for me because of what I did, or God must not be for me because I didn't read the word enough, or God must not be for me because I missed 3 weeks in church. Say it out loud. God
is for me.
God is
for me.
God is for me.
God is for me.
Are you listening to me now? God is for me. And what Jesus did on the cross forever puts God on our side. What Jesus did on the cross forever puts God on our side. God is for me forever. And if God is for me forever, who can forever be against me? God is for me. God is in me. God is on my side. I'm trying to get you to see what happens when issues come up in your life and the enemy starts playing with your mind and you begin to wonder if God is for me. You begin to doubt, well, is he for me? You begin to, you know, look at your things in your life and say, I wonder if he's for me. I need you to settle this right now. Because of the blood of Jesus, God is forever for you. He is for us. God is for you. God is for us. Who can be against us? Who can be against us? Not a devil, not a demon, not a co-worker, not your enemy. Let me tell you something. If the devil throws lemons at you, God will turn it into lemonade. If the devil throws tomatoes at you, he'll make a good sauce. God is the only one that can take roaring lions and turn them into kitty cats. He can take a Red Sea and turn it into a walkway. He can take a fiery furnace and turn it into a sauna. God is for me. God can take times of recession and turn them into times of progression. God is for me. So there's nothing that can be against you. Now you're going to hear voices that tell you it's against you. But I mean, listen, the day that something happened in your life, that day, God went to work at turning it all around. Well, that depends on who did it. Now, even if your foolishness act foolish that day, God is in the midst of turning it all around. Say it one more time. God is for me. God being for you will take stumbling blocks and turn them into stepping stones. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? God is always for us and he is never against us because of the blood of Jesus. Settle that. And anytime you're going through something and you hear those words come up, God's against you. No. He was against them in the Old Testament when they were under the law. I am under grace. The blood of Jesus has been shed for me. God is always for me and he is never against me. Say that. God is always for me and he is never. Say it again. God is and he is. Yeah, but brother, you don't understand. It's my fault. Say it again. And yeah. He'll go to work at changing whatever need to change. And if you need to change, he go to work at changing whatever need to change. There's something about getting a revelation that God is on your side. He's not against you. He is on your side. Oh, I got to praise him for a minute. He's on my side. He's on my side. Yeah, but I didn't tithe last week and I went and bought a dress. Well, he's on my side. He's straightening me out. He's straightening that out. He's straightening it all out. He on my side. He is on my side. Yeah, I know I messed up, but he on my side to fix up what I messed up. I know I'm a mess, but he's in the process of making a masterpiece out of a mess. He is always on your side. Can I go on? You got that? Now look at verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered his own son up for all of us. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things.
Now, there's something here I want you to understand. God gave His own Son that He loved for us. Now, I don't want you to view that as a, well, that's a, you know, He's God, that's a simple thing. It's never simple to give somebody that you love for somebody else. I mean, you think about it. Can you give your own son that you loved to die in the place of a murderer? No, I'm not asking you to answer correct. So I'm going to answer first. Now. I'm glad it wasn't up to me. Because if it was up to me, all y'all would be in hell and me too, because I'm not giving up my only son. I ain't there. I can't do that. But God. Isn't that the whole story of the cross? But God is able to do what I can't do. But in Genesis chapter 22, which is when you deal with Abraham and Isaac, it's a, you know, the father of many nations and Isaac, his only son. It's a perfect picture of the Heavenly Father and His only Son. And we need to know why God would do this. So let's look and see why Abraham would do it and what happened there. Flip over to Genesis 22 just for a moment. Hold your place in Romans chapter 8. Genesis chapter 22, because when the same phrase that he would not spare his son, but he gave him up for us all, it's kind of a similar phrase that was mentioned in Genesis 22. And beginning at verse 2, notice in verse 2, he says, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. The Amplified says, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. So here's Abraham getting ready to take his son that it took decades to believe for. Had him at an old age. This is his, he loves this boy. Take your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and get thee in the land of Moriah. Offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Think of that now. He's asked to take his own son, the one that he loves, and to present him as an offering. Now, in verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord. I did some study on that phrase. When he says the angel of the Lord, he's just not talking about any angel in heaven. When you see the phrase, the angel of the Lord, this is making direct reference to one of the three of the Godhead. This is Jesus before he came in the flesh. So when you look at the angel of the Lord, this is one of the Trinity before he came, Jesus. Do your own study. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou feareth God. The Amplified says, you respect God. Other translation says, I know you love God. I know you fear God, reverence God, you respect God, seeing, well, how do you know that? Seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, you didn't withhold your son, you didn't withhold your only son, and when you did that, I now see that you love me because you did not withhold your only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and he took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son, and called that place Jehovah Jireh. Notice the place was called Jehovah Jireh. Now, here's something that I noticed as well. God already knew that Isaac didn't qualify as a sacrifice. Why? Because the sacrifice can't have fault. And Isaac wasn't faultless. He had fault. So God already knew he didn't qualify for a sacrifice. But God wanted to see if Abraham loved him. And when he refused to withhold his son, he communicated clearly to God that you love me. Does everybody got that? All right, now go back to Romans 8. Verse 32. So Abraham is getting ready to kill his son, and the angel of the Lord, Jesus, stopped him. But now, nobody stopped God from giving up his son. Now, I've got two questions in light of what I just shared that I want you to answer. Number one, how did God know that Abraham loved him? Because he did not withhold his only son. Let me ask you that question again. How did God know that Abraham loved him? See, we get into the emotional thing.
Because he said it. He said he loved him. And he was crying when he said it.
No. How did God know that Abraham loved him? Because he did not withhold his only son. All right, now, how do we know? How do I know that God loves me? Because he did not withhold his only son. And every day of your life, you remind yourself of the authenticity of God's love for you. He demonstrated that love for you because he did not withhold his only son. For God so loved the world that he... See, he is now saying, I am demonstrating my love to you in that I have taken the thing that I value the most. I'm taking what I value most in heaven. And I will not even withhold it from you to show you that my love is deep and it is authentic. Are you listening to me? Now look at what he said in verse 32. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with his son, in addition to or also freely give us all things? Look at what he said. With him. With him. Notice that. Look, with him. With him. Freely. With him. Freely give us all things. With him. Freely give us all things. You see, when you receive Jesus, you have received all things. It's not, well, God gave us Jesus one thing, so now he can give us some more things. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying God gave us Jesus, so now he can give us prosperity and he can give us healing. That's not what he said. He said that when God gave you Jesus, with Jesus, he has given you all things. With Jesus came everything. With Jesus, see, he didn't say he gave you Jesus and then you get some more stuff. What he said was all of everything else came with Jesus. When I gave you Jesus, I gave you provision. When I gave you Jesus, I gave you patience. When I gave you Jesus, I gave you wisdom. When I gave you Jesus, I gave you prosperity. When I gave you Jesus, I gave you deliverance. He says when you receive Jesus, with him came everything. I dare you to turn your neighbor and say, Jesus is my everything. But what Christians have done, we've been trying to get everything without him. And everything doesn't come separate. You know how when you go to McDonald's or a drive-thru and you say, give me a number one. And included with the number one is the drink and the fries. You say, well, now I want the drink and the fries. Well, we got to charge you the same price because that comes with the number one. See, you're trying to get the healing and the prosperity without understanding that all that comes with Jesus. Jesus is your everything. He is my way in. He is my way out. He is my deliverer, my healer. He's my financier. He's my peace, my joy, my wisdom. Hey, glory to God. Turn to two people and tell them, Jesus is my everything. So it's with him, everything else comes for free. With him, healing is for free. Deliverance is for free. You can be rich as you want to be for free. Jesus is my everything. Jesus is my everything. Jesus is my wisdom. See, that's what you say when you don't know what to do. Jesus, you're my wisdom today. Jesus, you're my deliverer today. Hallelujah. Jesus, you're my healer today. Jesus is my healing. I've received him. Everything else is for free. Jesus. We can go home right now. We can just go. Y'all go home. Go home. Eat your sandwich. Because I got what I need. I got Jesus. See, you've been walking around. You don't know what you got. Jesus is, let me make it practical. Jesus is my job. Jesus is peace in my marriage. Hallelujah. 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 That just sounds like an old Baptist song. Everything. And Jesus is everything. That's right. But it's amazing to me how church folks, the more we seem to learn, the more we seem to think we don't need Jesus. Because we got the principle now. The principle without Jesus won't work. And that's why ain't nothing been working in your life. You understand the Greek and the Hebrew, and you understand the functionality of a certain principle, but you don't understand it came with Jesus.
Man, I'm glad to have Jesus back at our church. I declare right now, I can go home, go sleep right now. That's enough. And then when you go home and look in your mailbox and got some bills, Jesus.
You see, God wants us to know that we are deeply and greatly loved by him. God wants us to know that we are his beloved. What does beloved mean? It means you are the one loved. You're the one loved. God wants you to feel, and I'll talk about that in a moment. Because I know love's not a feeling, but he wants you to feel special. He wants you to know that you're valued. He wants you to know that you're loved by him. I'm not talking about this Christian thing of, yes, I know God's love, and and I know God loves. No. You're missing the whole point. You must come to the point this morning where you know God and you believe God loves you like ain't nobody else on the planet but you. You got to start waking up in the morning, God loves me. I'm not talking about God. I know God loves everybody. No. The issue is God loves you. The problem in our lives is we don't believe God loves us. We believe God can do a lot of stuff, but we sometimes don't believe that he loves us. I believe that God loves himself some Creflo. Now, you got to handle it for yourself. I've already handled it for myself. God loves some Creflo Augustus with a U.S. dollar. I can't do that for you. Now, here's what I've noticed. When I encounter a man that personally feeds on this, he sees himself as God's beloved. It's personal with him. In the midst of trouble, he doesn't announce the principle. He announces his confidence in God's love for him. And he believes with all of his heart that God loves him just as much as he loves Jesus. And you know what I begin to notice? Miracles begin to happen for those who realize that they are God's beloved. The more you sense God's love for you, the more you'll notice good things happening in your life. Yeah. I believe that when you do this, you'll begin to enjoy the blessings of God when you realize how much you're loved by God. I'm not talking about things happening because you say you love God. Because I've discovered that my love for God can never be as great as his love for me. The quality of life, ladies and gentlemen. And it's time for you to start enjoying life. It's time for you to start enjoying your humanity. You know, laughing, having a good time, going out, having picnics, and quit trying to be so deep all the time. It's time for you to enjoy your humanity, knowing that God loves me. I was in New Jersey on the way to church last night getting ready to preach, and I looked out the window and I said, man, look at the green trees. And here's the thought that came in my mind. God loves me so much, he expresses his love by putting color in them trees. And I was saying it like this. He did that for me. Like I said, you got to take care of for yourself. He did that for me. And then when I start looking at the trees and I go up and enjoy the green of the trees, I run into blue. He did that for me. He didn't want me to be bored. He's trying to get me to enjoy his expression of love for me. You realizing that you're God's beloved. You realizing that you're the object of God's love. So when the fights of life try to knock you out, it's the realization that God loves me that begins to pull you out. Follow me now. There's something here. There's something here. You study the blessings and the miraculous of John the Beloved. He knew God loved him. They could hardly kill him because his confidence of that love just kept him on top of the problems. God kept turning the lemons into lemonade. There's something about this. Listen to what I'm saying. You believing and you having confidence that God loves me. And because God loves me, I'm going to be all right. Because God loves me, I'm going to be healed. Because God loved me, the bills are going to be paid. Because God loved me, somebody can come and just hit your car. Bam! You ever walked out and seen somebody just put a ding on your car? Come on, you know how you have, you know what happened? They put a ding on your car and you started praying in tongues. And it wasn't no tongues to get God to show up. It was tongues to stop you from cussing and saying what you really wanted to say. But you walk out there, bam, they hit your car. Now here's what happens. When you believe God loves you, you'll hear something like this. Well, you know I love you. And besides, if that car was damaged to such a point where it couldn't be repaired, I'd get you another one. Don't you know I love you? Ain't nothing nobody can do down here to you that's going to stop the manifestations of the love I have for you. I need you to just focus on our relationship with one another. I need you to know that anything that happens ain't nothing because I love you. And so when you get a hold of that revelation and stuff start happening to you and you start going through a bunch of stuff and you just say, wait a minute, God loves me. What happens? Peace that passes understanding shows up because of what you know about you and God. See, they don't know how much you know God love you. Are you listening to me? Now go to Ephesians chapter 3. I think you're getting this, but I'm trying to drive this thing in. Tomorrow morning, I want you getting up, meditating on the love that God has for you. Before you get to the principle, before you get to praying in tongues, I want you to meditate on God loves me today. Somebody says, well, you know, praise the Lord, I know that, you know, Jesus loves me. You know, you don't know none. Because if you really knew he loved you, you wouldn't be going through what you're going through. You would be walking on top of what you're going through. And when folks look at you, they wouldn't be able to tell you going through what you're going through because his love has lifted you up. You remember that love lifted me? Come on now. And you started walking on top of it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Now listen to this. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory so that you can be strengthened with might. How many of you know might is the ability to do anything? The Apostle Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his what? Might. Okay? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Strengthens you with what? Might. Okay? So he said, be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Now, he has a colon here getting ready to show you how you're going to be strengthened with might. You know that. Normally, it's followed by a list of things or ingredients that cause this thing to happen. Wow. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith so you can be rooted and grounded in what? Love. Not the love that I have for God, or not the love that I have for you, but the love that God has for me. That I am rooted and grounded in the love that God has for me. And when you are rooted and grounded, and when you have confidence, and when you know and realize and sense the love that God has for you, the ability to do all things will be made available to you. It'll be made available to you because you have realized how much God loves you. And once you realize how much God loves you, then he begins through that confidence to release might. It's amazing how we've tried to get the things of God and don't even believe that God loves us. See, I can love you and you don't believe I love you and you won't benefit from my love for you. You love your children. But if they don't believe you love them, they'll continue to rebel against you because they don't believe you love them. The prodigal son had two boys, had a father that loved them, but they had a problem believing the love. As Christian people, if you have problems believing the love, or if the enemy can set up situations in your life to get you to question and doubt the love that God has for you, it will limit ability being imparted into your life. Notice what he says. Rooted and grounded in love. Why? So you'll be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, what is the length, what is the depth. Now, this is a prayer that Paul is praying for Ephesus. It's a prayer that's good to be prayed today. And what is the height? And look at verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that you might be what? Filled with what? And according to verse 19, you are filled with all the fullness of God when what happens? When you what? Know the love. When you know the love of Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you what I thought growing up as a young charismatic. I thought anytime somebody talked about being filled with God, that it had everything to do with praying in tongues, being filled with the Holy Ghost. And I related the Holy Ghost. And please, I'm not belittling tongues. I pray in tongues more than y'all. I'm just saying, I'm just saying what I thought it was just all about. I had limited it to just praying in tongues. Well, I just need to pray in tongues. I just need to pray in tongues. I need to pray in tongues. Pray in tongues, good. Praise God. But I was limiting it. And I was dependent on me praying in tongues to fill me with the fullness of God. I was just, you know, let me pray in tongues and that's going to fill me with power. And let me pray in tongues. That's just going to fill me with all these things. I don't know if anybody else thought that. So I kind of said, well, tongues is going to be the what I'm going to use to get full of the power of God. But I want you to hold your place then. I want to show you something. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. And it happens to start off with this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, look at this very carefully. You know, I feel like when I talk about tongues, it's the same thing when I teach on grace and people are hearing things that they want to hear. God hates sin. Creflo Dollar hates sin. And Creflo Dollar is not teaching grace so that people can have, so they can sin. I hate sin. I don't believe that Christians ought to sin. God hates sin. I'm not saying that, but people still hear that. And I don't want you to hear something different when I say speaking in tongues. It's something that we do, but I thought that it was the sum total of my empowerment. But look what he says here in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and I do not have charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now listen to the Amplified. If I speak in tongues of men and even of angels, but I have not love, the reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as inspired by God's love for and in us, I am only a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. You know what he's saying here? He says you can pray in tongues all day long, but if you don't know about God's love for you, tongues won't work. Tongues won't work without you knowing about the love that God has for you. Let me give you an illustration so you can gain concept. How many of you know that a car, an automobile, will not work to its full capacity if I put water in the tank? Come on. How many of you know it ain't gonna work at all? What do I need to put in the tank in order to get the full capacity of that automobile? And the right type, right? So likewise, tongues is not going to work until you put in the tank your confidence of God's love for you So it will now begin to work to its full capacity. So now, here's what I'm saying. I just got to be straight. It would be better for you to get up every morning and meditate in how much God loves you than for you to get up and speak in tongues for an hour doubting the love that God has for you. Did I say that right? Y'all understand what I'm saying? I didn't say stop praying in tongues, did I? I said if you want the car to work, put gas in it, not water. That if you want tongues to benefit you the way God designed it to benefit you, make sure you know and have confidence that God loves me. And when you know and have confidence that God loves me, beware now, be ready. Be ready, because when I know God loves me and I kretsoko rebobo shaka kalabasa, it'll work to its full capacity. Why? Because the love of God, I have the love. See, other than that, I'm just making a bunch of noise. Somebody need to walk in the room and say, shut up, shut that noise up, shut that noise up. Ain't nothing happening, hush. You believe God love you? No, he don't care nothing about me. Shut up that noise then. You ain't doing nothing but making noise. Ain't nothing happening. Shut up. Shut up, you devil. But when somebody says, you know, I'm in a tough situation right here, but you know what I know? I know God loves me. And because God loves me, I know that he's on my side and he is for me and he is working this thing out right now. Devil's better pack his bag right now, because I am now praying in tongues at full capacity because I know that God loves me. All right, go back to Romans. Or we went on to Ephesians. Hallelujah. 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 I can see you getting up tomorrow morning, just laying there in the bed. God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Oh, Rabasika, Rabaho, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves me. And if the devil show up, you're going to just take your time with that line. Jesus loves me, loves me. Loves me, loves me, loves me. L-O-V-E, loves me. Jesus, la, 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 la. And all of a sudden a smile comes over your face and you get up in the morning in his love. I mean, they left a note on your door talking about they're gonna cut your lights off, and you, Jesus loves me, loves me. You just don't know how much he loves me, but I'm letting you know he loves me. He loves me. Don't know where the money coming from, but he loves me. Don't know when I'm going to get it, but he loves me. Don't know if I'm going to be using candles tonight, but I know he loves me. Pay my rent tomorrow. I don't know where the money is going to come from, but I know that Jesus loves me. He'll let me know where it's going. I need to do because he loves me. He'll know where I need to go because he loves me. Rent paid because he loves me. Oh, devil, don't rejoice too quick because you don't see it right now, but I'm already used to this because he loves me. Sometimes he don't want to let you see it right quick because he just want to play with you because he loves me. I'll never lose against you because greater is he that is in me than is he in the world because he loves me. doctor said I had cancer, said I'm going to be dead, but they don't know how much I know that he loves me, loves me, loves me. Now watch this, watch this. I prayed for the house, but it didn't come through. But I'm not gonna let that bother me because he loves me. I don't know if he's trying to teach me something where I am before he take me to where I wanna be. But I'm not gonna let the fact that I didn't get what I prayed for mess with me because he loves me. He loves me. And nothing happening in my life will stop me from understanding that it is all well with me. And the scripture says, and to know the love of Christ, which can't be known. We need, the more I realize how much God loves us, we become whole, spirit, soul, and body. We end up healthy. The more I realize how much he loves me, I end up complete. I smile more often. The more we realize and we feed on God's love for us, our lives become at ease, which means which means no more dis-ease, because I realize how much he loves me, and I'm at ease now. And if no more dis-ease, then no more disease, because I know he loves me and I'm at ease. So, you know, 18 talks about to know the love which is beyond knowing, and as a result, you'll be filled with the fullness of God. Just by being conscious of God's love for you, you get full of God. You get full of God because you are conscious of God's love for you. You get full of God because you're feeding on the knowledge that God loves me. And look at verse 20. Once you can get this, now unto him that is able now to do. Look at that. Look at that. God says, obviously he wasn't able to do it because you question his love for you. But the guy that doesn't question God's love for him, he says, now I'm able to do. So whatever God is not doing in your life, you got to ask yourself, do I believe that he loves me? Because once you get a revelation of his love for you, he is now able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. Come on, look at that. According to the what? The power that worketh within. But in reality, what is it that's working? So you're about to find out that the power of God is, now I don't want to just say it that general. The power of God is your confidence in God's love for you. Romans 5:5 says something. I noticed it was the first time that the book of Romans mentioned the Holy Spirit. The first time the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the book of Romans, it's mentioned with the love of God. Now look at this. Romans 5 and verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, or the Amplified says hope doesn't disappoint. Hope maketh not ashamed or doesn't disappoint. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. So first time he mentions the Holy Ghost and the love of God at the same time. Now, we charismatics, we relate with the Holy Spirit only with power. And every time we say Holy Ghost, power, 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 Holy Ghost power, power. But right here is mentioned with love. See, the Holy Spirit wants us to know love because he knows once you know love, you will then understand power. The Holy Spirit wants us to know love, and then we will understand signs and wonders. The Holy Spirit wants us to know love, and then you'll understand prosperity. He wants us to know love, and then you'll understand healing. Not the love of power. The Holy Spirit doesn't want us to know the love of power, but he wants us to know the power of love. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, I love my wife. I love her more today than I ever have. She is an expression of God's love for me. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, sometimes I love her so much. The next day come up and I'm thinking about my time with her and my legs just, oh, Jesus. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying, do you? You be sitting up there minding your business and you start thinking about, Somebody said that was the Holy Ghost. No, that was taffy. God, the mighty Lord. Thank you, dear. And that's when I really believe God loved me. He expressed his love when he gave me my wife. He expressed his love. That's an expression of his love. My children, when they gather up on me and they tell me how much they love me and they kiss me and they just, you just, everything, that's God's expressing his love to me through my kids. Look at the different ways that God is expressing his love to you. He gave you a good church to come to express his love. This is an expression of his love. It's not supposed to be stressful. It's an expression of his love for you. But if a man comes and tries to cause bodily harm to my wife, you will then see power. You didn't even recognize Reb had all that in him. You will see power if you cause bodily harm to my wife. Well, what's the real power? My love. My love. What you think I'm going to do? I'm going to sit there while you beat my wife up and kola kasa na da basa da da da. Shalama. That's what God's trying to communicate to us. Any manifestation of his power is a direct result of his love. We're trying to get manifestations and we don't even understand where it comes from. You don't get manifestations without understanding his love. As I was praying before God and seeking God this morning, I just started thinking how much I love this church. I don't need to go nowhere. Ain't nobody got to invite me nowhere. If a preacher don't never invite me to come preach at this church, I am absolutely, totally, completely satisfied with God's expression of his love through this congregation. Totally. Totally. I know sometimes I talk long. That's my love. It's my love. And I'm determined that I'm not going to stand before God after it's over with explaining to him why I was too afraid to teach the truth. I'm so glad I took a lesson out of Jesus' notebook and became a man with no reputation. What a freeing thing. What an absolutely freeing thing. When you have a reputation, you got to work hard to protect it. And then when it ain't going so good, you got to do something to lift it up. You got to do damage control. But when you ain't got no reputation, you don't need to do none of that, because Jesus is now your reputation. So you can walk like you want to walk. You can be free. You can wear your hat backwards and not have backwards thinking. You can wear your shoes untied without being loose. You can wear shorts and flip-flops at the mall. You can go to the movies and eat some popcorn. You can pick a chicken leg up with your fingers and eat a chicken leg with your fingers. You can take cornbread and dip it in some collard greens and stick the pinky finger out, because you ain't got no reputation no more. You're like Jesus. You are of no reputation. And how can you do that? Because you know how much you loved. What good is it for me to work hard to get the public to love me and don't even know that God loves me? God. Okay. Preach, Cref. Preach, boy. God dog it, you better say that. First thing, according to this scripture, that the Holy Spirit wants to establish in all of our hearts is how much God loves us. And you remember that in Romans 5 when he says, hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. You know what he's saying? Once you know how much God loves you, you don't have to be afraid to hope no more. Because when he says hope disappoints, that means it never comes to pass. But he says now, once you understand how much God loves you, beware now that when you hope, it's going to come to pass. Because when you know God's love for you, hope does not disappoint. Thank you, Jesus. Let me give you a little equation. Your hopes plus the love of God for you, you knowing God's love for you, equals great victory and success. When you walk in the love of God for you, you will overcome your troubles. You know what Paul said in Romans 8:37, we'll get to it. He says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Through everything you'll go through this love, and you understanding how much God loves you, you are more than conquerors. Now, I'm not saying that they're not going to be trouble. There will be trouble. But you will conquer the troubles. The Bible says in this world you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. So trouble will come, But because you know how much God loves you, you'll always conquer the trouble. There'll be nothing that you won't conquer, because every time something happens, you're thinking about how much God loves you. Start noticing the number of times in the Bible that it refers to us as His beloved. When God loves you, God doesn't take it back. I said, when God loves, He doesn't take it back. You know how something, He don't do like people. Pastor, I loved it you last year. But when you start on that other series, you're gonna
leave me because I said something that you didn't understand? Wow, so you loved it me last year.
Thank God for God. God doesn't take it back. God doesn't take it back. Praise God. Praise God. All right, now, I'm going to say 3-4 powerful things. I put stars about them. I want to get it in your thinking. All right, now watch this now. Everything that the devil does is to destroy that sense that God loves you. Everything that the devil does, your enemy, is to destroy that sense of love that God has for you. Your sense of being the belovedness of God. So what's the devil going to do? Satan is going to use religious teachers to bring condemnation in your life. He's going to use an attachment to the law. He's going to use accusations, bringing up your past, trying to make you feel that God rejects you. Everything that the devil does is to destroy that sense that God loves you. Secondly, the devil has no defense towards those that know that they are God's beloved. He has no defense when you know that you are God's beloved. He absolutely can't do nothing. Now, this next one I want to show you. Matthew chapter 3. Oh, my goodness. This next one's concerning temptation. Why is it that temptation is successful? And what do we need to know so it is never successful? I'm going to show you how to shut down Satan's winning rate where temptation is concerned, but my time is all gone. I was getting ready to show you how to never yield to temptation again as long as you live. But you know where we are. It's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday day. What is it, Sunday afternoon? You ever seen anything like this? You ever seen anything like this before in your life? You at a church and people actually studying the word? Because that's the only thing going to change us. All right, put 5 minutes on there for me. 5 minutes. Give me five. All right. Matthew 3, verse 17. Read this. Verse 17. Read it. Read it. Read. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my. So the heavens opened and a voice from heaven came. And what did he say? This is my. 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 So then Jesus in chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus was led up into the spirit, into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. And when the tempter came to him, look what the tempter said. If thou be, come on, what? And then he goes on again and he says, if thou be the what? Son of God. Notice what he didn't say. God did not announce him as, this is my Son of God. God announced him as, this is my, come on, beloved son. Satan on purpose left out the beloved part. Why? Because temptation is not successful if the person who is being tempted knows that he is beloved. And ain't no use of the devil even bringing it up, because he never wanted us to know that we're the beloved. And when the devil comes to tempt you, you got to remind yourself, I'm the beloved. Have you forgotten, devil? Did you get the memo? Don't you know that I am the beloved? You better get up out of here with this stuff. I'm not going to go there because I am the beloved. And some little old girl come around you twitching herself in front of you, all you need to do is remind yourself, I am the beloved. Whatever she thinks she can do for me, I got a wife at home that can do 10 times more than what she thinks she can do for me, because God loved me enough to make sure I'm getting everything I need at home with my beloved. Temptation can't ever work when you know you're the beloved. Notice in your own life. Notice it was the time when you were in self-pity. Notice it was the time when you were rejected and you felt like nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. That's why I have to eat worms. First you bite the head off and then you suck the guts out. It was during those times when you doubted that you were the beloved, when you fell into sin, when you yielded into temptation. But ladies and gentlemen, when you realize that I am the beloved, temptation doesn't work, and the devil knows it. He got to get you in self-pity. He got to get you in this attitude, well, my wife don't even love me. My kids don't even love me. All I do, they just think I'm a money tree. Oh, don't complain. You signed up to be a money tree. What you talking about? You think they were going to come for free? The day their head popped out, you should have said, ching, ching. When your wife walked down the aisle, you didn't hear no angelic singing. You should have heard ching, ching. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Just remember you're the beloved. God can supply all the ching, ching you need, because he loves you enough to make sure that the ching, ching don't bother you. We're going to stay here for a few weeks. I need you to feed on this. Take 20, 30 minutes a day and meditate on how much God loves you. Well, how do I know how much he loves me? He gave his son. He would not withhold his son for us. Start looking around and seeing the expressions of his love for you. Start looking at what you have versus looking at what you don't have and see his expression of his love for you. Inhale and exhale and say, that's God's love for me. And once you get that, you're going to sense and notice a new realm of the supernatural moving in your life. Stuff's going to start happening. Your prayers are going to be answered. Your harvest is going to start coming. Favor is going to be released. I'm just kind of concerned. I pray that you're not too intelligent to let this go by, dummy. Because to let this go by makes you dumb. And that's my only concern, that you're too intelligent to receive the simplicity of this revelation. It's not enough to know what I preached today. You have to feed on it. You got to meditate in it on a daily basis until it consumes your inner being, until every time something happens, you become more consciously aware of God's love for you than you are the trouble that's facing you. The key to this is feeding on it, not knowing about it. We make such big mistakes because we say we know about something, but you don't feed on it and renew your mind with it. And that's all I got to say today. You get anything out of this? All right, now listen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Very strange, every head bowed, every eye closed, but just one course of this. Come on, join me. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him, they are blessed. They are blessed, and we are strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. Come on, one more time. Yes, no matter what you're dealing with.
Yes, Jesus.
No matter what bill is due.
Yes,
come on, one more time. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
What are we doing? We're feeding on it. Lift your hands up. Jesus. Every sick body, every mind that's been oppressed with something, every bill that's due, every trouble that's come your way, be submitted now to me knowing how much God loves me. Receive it now. Receive it all over this congregation. Receive it now. I know how much God loves me. Receive it now. I know how much God loves me. I know. In the face of this, I know all of the things that you're dealing with. God loves me. And because he loves me, this is victory. Because he loves me, this is victory. Because he loves me, this report's changing. Because he loves me, because he loves me, because he loves me. You got it? All right. Now, in Jesus' name, I want you to rejoice right where you are for the victory of his love over your life. Victory of his love over your life. Victory of his love over your life. Amen. 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 Man, you know what we get to do right now? I didn't say what we got to do. You know what we get to do right now? We get to respond to that love. All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have I given thee. So we get an opportunity to give to God. We get an opportunity to respond with our tithes and with our offerings and with our gift of love. We get a chance to say, God, I know this is no way near a payment for all the things that you have done, but I want you to start giving. I want you to get used to giving to God out of your affection. I want you to get used to giving to God out of your love. I want you to get used to giving to God because you're moved to, you love to. And there's so something about that. So as you prepare your offerings today, whatever church you're watching, as you prepare that offering today, we're going to call this our love offering, not our fear offering. A fear offering is when God speaks to you to give a certain amount, you're scared to do it, and then you lower it. Give what God tells you to give. God knows the needs of this ministry. I'm not going to get up here and beg you and won't you help me? Won't you help me? No, I just believe God will speak to you.